Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. Chuck Bonnerill, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show.
True, straight
shut up. Oh, that's my line, my dear. That's my line, not yours.
You have
well, I know that's called the dramatic pause. You get people excited.
Hey, the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're pleased to have with us Hope Shuppelman, the current vice chair of the Colorado Republican Party. She has a big announcement to make, which probably anyone can guess. And actually, she's technically already made it, but she'll be making it on our show.
Sort of, kind of. That's exclusively.
And we were hoping to get... Okay, Sally Pipes, although Thomas is telling us she isn't answering quite yet. Sally she's a medical expert, and she has a new column up in Newsmax that says it's time to use DOGE on Medicare and Medicaid. So hopefully we'll get her as soon as we do. We will bring her on up. But in the meantime, there's so many things going on today. I don't even know. We can kind of run through them until we get Sally.
Sally comes. When Sally met Harry.
When Sally, exactly. So a couple of new things come up. Number one, Denver Mayor Mike Johnston is going to Washington, D.C., paying a law firm $2 million?
$2 million big ones.
$2 million.
Covington Burling.
Right. It's not clear what they're going to do because he's going to testify before Congress. That's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
On the Sanctuary City thing. You know, here's my feeling on that. I hope Lauren Boebert grills him. But I mean, all of that is it's a circus for both sides to get sound bites on TV, don't you think?
No.
You don't? Okay.
It's a way for Republicans to point out to the Democrats really are for open borders and the cities really want this country overwhelmed by illegal aliens. And the Republicans want to drill them, and the Democrats want to defend them, saying, no, they're
right.
Exactly. They're not open cities, not at all.
I was reading a thing. I mean, the Denver Post is just so, it's just such a hack paper anymore. But they wrote, there was an article talking about that the fact that, okay, so we've got rising crime, skyrocketing crime in Colorado, skyrocketing inflation, highest in the nation, growing the fastest in the nation in Colorado. And also we basically anymore have more people leaving than coming in, except for what they referred to as international migration.
This is from France, Switzerland, and Italy, and all the European countries, as well as other places around the world.
Thomas is saying that. Okay. We'll keep trying, Sally. Thomas, I think I gave you the right phone number, so...
We never can be sure about that.
Yeah,
that could be one of the...
Keep trying. If not, there's a problem. We'll get her later. But at any rate, it was referring to international migration. Well, international migration is illegal immigration.
Across the border, right? Chinese and everything else, yeah.
Also trying to make it sound like, well, Denver's such a great place. People are coming here internationally. It's like, no.
They love downtown. They want to live downtown.
Yeah.
In fact, they want to live on the streets of downtown.
Do the scoochie thing.
How much can you love a city than you want to live on the streets of that city?
Thomas, that's the right number. That's the number I had. So, okay. Number we're talking with Thomas. So, but I mean, it's just so ridiculous, the Denver Post. And Jacob jumped in early. He's got his hand.
Early and often.
We can go. Jacob, go ahead. Take it away till we get Sally.
Did I hear correctly that the state of Colorado is $1.4 billion in the red?
They have
a... closing up.
Yeah, they have watching the state budgets, the way I understand it, I think the direct answer is yes. Right. But the problem is they fiddle around with budgets. Right. And what money's available and what money they can have out of one bucket and put into another bucket. Right. That kind of thing. So the bottom line is that we have more things that we're spending money on than we have money to spend. But they always do that, Jacob, to make us think, oh, we need to get rid of Tabor. Right. They go after education
they're going after they're cutting out the special needs for the kids.
Right. It's kind of like
What are
whenever
they
the
cutting
government
out?
shot special needs for kids. They
Oh,
special.
they wouldn't. Being a Democrat, it can't be. Special needs must be the kids with high IQs.
No.
They're not. They're not. They're never going to cut out, quote unquote, true special needs. That's they live on. That's their bread and butter.
Right. And they're just doing that. It's kind of like when the government shuts down, right? And they shut down all the parks and the monuments and things
Right,
like that,
right,
right?
right.
I mean, that's just my take on it, that the
But
Democrats.
I just thought that Mr. Polis was a businessman.
Oh, well,
Democratic
it's
businessman.
not his fault, Jacob. It's the Republicans' fault.
Yeah,
No, no,
all
no,
the things
no,
they
no.
control.
He bought his last two elections. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He's
Well,
got to get a rate of return on his.
that's
He
how
did.
good people do it. Buying the elections, man.
Oh,
Everybody buys the elections.
and
And
the
the
other
other
thing
thing.
I just wanted to, yeah, just one quick thing. The other thing I wanted to tell you was the two senators from Connecticut. One is Chris Coons, and I couldn't remember who the other one is, but he's worth about $12 million now. And just 4 years ago, he was in bankruptcy court.
I don't think it's
Now,
Chris
how do you
Coons.
make?
He's from Delaware. Chris Coons is
Is
from Delaware.
Chris is from Delaware? I thought he was from Connecticut.
I'm pretty sure.
But anyway,
Check it on
the other
Google.
one, yeah. But one of the other ones, it was on the news. It was on Fox News this morning. He was in bankruptcy court not 4 years ago, and now he's got worth $12 million. That's pretty
NGO.
amazing.
Yeah, he's
Yeah.
doing the George Soros NGO plan.
Okay. All right. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. You too. I think we did have a missed number for Sally. So Thomas is going to try again here. But yeah, so we've got that's an interesting point. I mean, the Democrats always do this every year. They're like, oh, we don't have enough money. And
Special needs kids are like,
right.
oh.
It's like, never mind the fact, and this is one of the things I want to talk to Sally about. So Colorado paid out $7 million in Medicaid to dead people. So maybe, I
They
don't
need
know.
help too.
Yeah,
You know,
no.
beyond the grave. The Egyptians always appreciated people need help beyond the grave.
Well, exactly. So maybe they could cut it there. Another thing coming up is Trump. Before, while we get Sally, Trump is saying the tariffs start tomorrow
Okay.
against Canada and Mexico. They try, but he said they aren't trying hard enough.
Okay.
And also fun, apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, he's stopping new weapon sales to Ukraine. So that'll teach Zelensky, huh? The Europeans over the weekend had great
It'll
meetings.
teach the industrial
Yeah, military
military
complex.
complex. I mean, those guys, what do you mean?
That's
No
right.
more sales.
Okay,
What the hell are you talking about?
we have Sally with us. And so Sally Pipes is joining us. Sally is an author. She has a great book out, The World's Medicine Chest, a good column up in Newsmax right now, Time to Use Doge on Medicare and Medicaid. So
And won
Sally.
the Olympic medal in Oslo, Germany, 10 years ago.
What? Oh, Chuck. Oh, never mind. Sally, thank you for joining us and welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, thank you so much
Thank you. And
for
I
having
think we
me.
had, I apologize. I think we had a phone number snafu, but we've got it right now. So one of the reasons I love your column about it's time for Doge to jump into that. And I was just saying here in Colorado, the state of Colorado paid $7 million out in Medicaid for people who were dead. And it seems to me that that's a kind of thing that maybe Doge could get to the bottom of. I mean, what's your sense of the situation?
Well, absolutely. I think it took Donald Trump being elected and then appointing Elon Musk to be head of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. And it's about time. There is so much fraud and abuse, malfeasance in Medicaid, the program for low-income Americans. And there's also a lot of fraud in the Medicare program for our older Americans. Both of these programs are costing right now of close to $1 trillion. And we really need to cut the cost of these programs and get rid of the fraud. As you mentioned, people, they're paying out Medicaid payments to people that are dead, that have left the country and all of these things. So it's very, very it's a very their programs are very expensive, and they're not allowing those people who are qualified to receive Medicaid patients to get timely care or even find access to doctors because the reimbursement rates are so low. But Medicaid is a program jointly funded by the federal government and to a lesser extent by the states. And with under COVID, of course, 90% of the funding for Medicaid came from the feds and the rest for the 10% by the states. So we need to get this under control and cut the cost of it and cut out the fraud.
You know, it seems to me that particularly under COVID, well, I mean, I imagine it was going on long before that, but I mean, basically, like everybody and their dog was on Medicaid or getting funding out of COVID. And to go back and try to take it away, it just seems to me that that's got to be ripe for abuse. I mean, you know, you have, when you talk about the world's medicine chest, I'm assuming you're saying, you know, the world, the United States. How do we start to get a handle on some of it? Because people are going to scream, right? If you say, oh, we're going to cut Medicaid, people are like, oh, you know, they'll holler and they'll show pictures of sick looking babies and they'll, you know, that kind of thing.
Even
So,
though it's Medicare and it's for older citizens, you know, sick babies.
but Medicare and Medicaid. So how would you address it,
Yes.
Sally?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, writing op-eds like I'm doing, exposing the statistics and the numbers and the cost of the program. When Trump was in power the first time, you know, he introduced executive orders which would allow people who were on Medicaid but were actually able to work to put in Medicaid work requirements in the states. And of course, as soon as he was out of office, Mr. Biden changed that. But I think that's another issue that we're going to see under DOGE and probably under HHS is bringing in work requirements so that people that are able to work, you know, can actually will get reduced Medicaid payments, and they will, you know, start their journey to being able to get employer-based coverage or get coverage through the Affordable Care Act. But we have to, you know, make reforms because these programs, as we just mentioned, are so out of control and so costly. And you're right. I mean, people think, oh, this is terrible. All of these, everyone's going to lose their Medicaid coverage. This is not the case. We're trying to get rid of the fraud in the program to make it affordable for those who really need the program.
Well, as a practical matter, you probably need those 80,000 IRS agents who the Democrats are always saying pay for themselves. If you dedicated them to rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicare and Medicaid, I promise you it would repay that their salaries 10 times over.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, Mr. Musk, it was his team at DOGE was printed in the New York Times on Sunday. And he's got a large staff of young engineers, tech people. And I think they're actually going to be able to figure out where that fraud and abuse is and then how then go to HHS and figure out, you know, how they're going to, you know, get these people off the programs, just like, you know, illegal immigrants and particularly those who have criminal records will be leaving our country.
And hopefully the rest of them too. But it really does take, you know, a few guys with PhDs and great analytical skills can point out that people over 100 are getting Medicare and everything else. But you know, it does take boots on the ground to investigate these things, and more importantly, you know, the FBI can actually prosecute some people, which may, I mean, right now, if you're in Medicaid, you know, it's the candy stores open. There's nobody going to stop you from cheating. And same with Medicare. There's just no incentive not to cheat. And so it's going to take an incentive not to cheat. And that's going to knock, you know, it's just like the federal employees and the people from the Keystone Pipeline, all those their jobs. And the mainstream media yawned. And now that some federal workers are being let off, it's like they had an entitlement of life. They were like federal judges. They had a life time appointment to their job, and they really act like it.
Well, I know you'll see these people on television. First of all, only 6% of federal government employees actually went back to work after the pandemic. So here we, the taxpayers, are paying all the salaries of these people who maybe they worked a couple of hours a day, but I'm sure they went to Starbucks and they went to the gym. And they, you know, if you're only, you know, we need to, you know, cut the size of the federal government, the workforce, and, you know, and get rid of this overpayment and these fraud. But you see people on the evening news, saying, well, I've worked for the federal government for X years and now I've lost my job. And how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for my mortgage? How am I going to pay my rent? Well, these people, they knew they were only working at not at grease lightning speed, but at a very low level of work. And it's just not fair. And it's finally we're at the point where we're figuring out who these people are and they're not needed. And why should we as taxpayers be paying such a large, high tax rate to support these people?
Well, they'd always tell you, and if I went to the private sector, I could make double or triple I'm making now. And now's your chance. If you can, it's a big opportunity to make double or triple what you were in the government. And the truth is, you'll make far less and have to work far harder.
Right, exactly. Well, when Margaret Thatcher was elected prime minister in the UK, one of her first jobs was to offer a buyout. I think it was £25,000 to professors who, were, not teaching like, I don't know, clinical studies, feminist studies, all of these things that weren't really English literature, which she thought the workforce could be tooled down a lot. But what happened was that those people who had a private sector alternative or a private college alternative, they took the buyout and left the people that she wanted to get rid of still teaching at British public universities. So, well, we have to, but really, we need to bring a sense of responsibility and cutting the size of government, because our the size of the government, the national debt, the trillions of dollars in wasted money is just, it's not American. It's not what we should be facing. So cleanup is definitely part. And a person like Elon Musk is the kind of person that can actually do this because he has never worked in government and he's run a
Right.
company and he knows profit and loss.
Yep, exactly. Well, one of the things I noticed about, so I turned 65 a couple of years ago, and was now eligible for Medicare. And it seems to me that parts of it are great, right? And I truly appreciate it, given the fact that I've been paying into it all this time. But other parts of it seems like it's just this cottage industry. So like I go to the first appointment, I make the appointment, and they were like, "Well, okay, before we start, you have to watch this video introduction to Medicare." I'm like, "What?" Do you know what I mean? So somebody paid for that and you have to watch it. And then they're like, okay, so now that you've watched that, then you can make your appointment to come back and get your physical. And I'm like, well, can't we do that since I'm here? They're like, no. You know what I mean? And then they call and say, okay, now here's this other person who's gonna, I mean, I get more texts from them than I got from Donald Trump during the election, right? It's like, why is that? Why are they always texting me? And somebody's paying for all of that, I got to assume. And they have all of these other agents. It's sort of like, so you have this, and then somebody calls and says, well, we can help you coordinate this and we can help you do that. And I'm like, I don't need any of that. And it just seems to me so much of it is, it's got to be just people jumping on and cashing in on a system that isn't particularly paying attention to what it's paying out.
Well, exactly. And if you look today, one in three new Medicare eligibles can't is having a hard time finding a doctor because doctors are reimbursed so much lower, 30% below what they get paid for treating a private patient. So they if they either don't want to have Medicare patients in their practice, or they want to have a very small number because they have expenses that they have to cover, and whether it's their part of their education or for their electronic health records and their office and their staff. And
Sure.
so it is totally out of control. And if you, I'm from Canada where everyone is on Medicare because the government doesn't allow any private health care for
Right.
anything considered necessary. And so today, last year, the average wait in Canada from seeing a primary care doctor to getting treatment by a specialist was just over 30 weeks. That's over half the
Wow.
year. What happens when
Wow.
government is in charge, and that's what's happening, in the VA system in this country, Medicare and Medicaid. And then you get Bernie Sanders up on the stump saying, oh, well, we want a single payer system. It's absolutely free. He never talks about the waiting time, nor does he talk about the fact that in Canada, the average family of four pays $17,717 a year in hidden taxes to be able to get health care by sitting on a waiting list, and not and also long, long waiting lists for MRIs, PT scans, CT scans, because they don't have the equipment because the government can't afford to replace it and bring in the best.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's, and again, nothing is really free. Bernie Sanders knows that, right? It's like, it's
Well, for
not,
him,
yeah.
women, nothing's
Well, he's
free.
in Congress. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, he's
Nothing
got a couple of Dachau on Lake
Yeah.
Champlain. He's got a book that nobody bought, but he got paid. Lots of free things for Bernie.
Well,
And his wife
I'm,
was
go ahead.
fraudulent, involved in some university system, university college in Vermont that she was involved with. There was a lot of fraud there, but she didn't go to jail.
No,
No, they never do. They never do. Well, Sally, where can, because we saw that you have some other stuff going on here too. Where can people, well, tell us a little bit about your book and then where people can get in touch with it and find out, read more of your columns, things like that.
right. So my book came out from Encounter Books in February this year. It's called The World's Medicine Chest: How America Achieved Pharmaceutical Supremacy and How to Keep It. It's available on Amazon.com. But I go into the fact that in the 70s, the countries in Europe were the producers and the research and development of all the latest innovations in pharmaceutical. And by 2004, every country in Europe had price controls on pharmaceuticals. And so the companies, whether it's Roche or GSK, AstraZeneca, they are European companies headquartered, but they all moved their R&D to the United States because we don't have price controls, and yet they are sort of coming in under the radar with the price controls on Medicare Part D. The first 10 drugs will be under price control starting January 1st next year, another 15 in 2027. So my hope is that the White House is going to get on board with getting rid of the price controls under the Inflation Reduction Act, and then Congress will vote not to move ahead with them. So we can keep America the medicine chest for everyone around the world, and other countries like European countries can have a free ride off our R&D. But my book is available on Amazon.com, and our website is www.pacificresearch.org, and you can look on the healthcare and on the media side and read all of my op-eds. I do op-eds every week for Newsmax, biweekly for Forbes, and I write a lot for, whether it's the Dallas Morning News, the Boston Herald, all of these, all on healthcare. So everything is there.
All right.
That's
Well,
great. Well, thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate it and have to have you back.
definitely. Thank you so much. Have a good afternoon.
Thank
Take
you.
care.
You too. That was Sally Pipes there, guys. And if you're interested, her book is The World's Medicine Chest. And the thing is, when Colorado again, paid $7 million for people who were dead. And the state's reaction was like, "Oh, our bad." I mean, that was
Did they
it.
say our bad, or
Well,
they
they
say,
didn't even
well,
say our bad. They're like,
yeah,
"Oh, well, look
it's
at
okay.
yeah." It was kind of like, "It's not our money, it's your money." So.
We just give it back to a different person. What
Well,
do we care?
and then Medicaid yells at them and says you need to figure that out. So it's a mess there. But that's a hard one because anytime you try to cut that, I mean, already people are jumping up and down on the
Well, it's because they
president
want the
thing.
fraud. They've all made fraudulent claims. I mean, the left never gives up. They never go, God, that's great. Let's
Well, didn't we, there was a racket, right, where they were having illegal immigrants or going to doctors filing fake claims and then sort of splitting the cash. Right. And so, and it was a organized crime kind of thing, right? And instead, no one cares. So, hopefully, I don't know. That one is a tough one, I imagine, for DOGE, because again, people, and at the same with
No,
Social
but it's huge.
Security.
The amount of fraud in that and disability payments. I mean, disability payments are a massive fraud.
Yep, that's right. Okay. Oh, and Dr. Donna was asking about the book. You're right. It is called The World's Medicine Chest, and the author is Sally Pipes. You got the spelling right there too. Pipes. Hey, it's a little bit early, but I see Hope has joined the waiting room. Hope, are you ready? Can we bring you on early?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, guys.
Hey there.
Hey.
The one, the only Hope Shuppelman joining us by Zoom. You have a big announcement. So let's just jump right to it, Hope.
Jumping right on into it. So thank you so much, you guys, for having me today. So I have already launched my re-election campaign for vice chair for the Colorado Republican Party. And I'm really excited about this because right now, we're really seeing a lot of people, a lot of energy, a lot of hope coming into the party because of the number one person, Donald J. Trump. And so, with that, I was really excited this morning to go ahead and send out my press release, which actually talked a lot about the agenda that we're going to be putting forward for the Republican Party, as well as what we're going to do for Colorado.
Okay, well, let's.
Well, I've been a member of the Republican Party here in Colorado ever since I came to law school out here, and at least, and so that goes back 12 years.
Yeah.
And no, it's a lot more than that. decades and decades. And there's never been, I promise you, there's never been a harder working, more diligent, better vice chair. Most of the time, the vice chairs do nothing, donada. They get the title and they sort of, do a little this, a little that. I mean, Hope has just been an extraordinary fountain of hard work. And thank God Hope was there when we had the Republican convention in Milwaukee. Our RNC woman chair just didn't get reelected, so she said, sayonara, everybody. And Hope had to take that whole thing over without any background. And the RNC chairwoman didn't say, hey, let me help you with this. No, she just disappeared into the woodwork. And Hope had to take it on and did a great job, just a great job. So, and quite frankly, it takes, I mean, Hope has been at it for 2 years. I assume it feels like 200.
It does some days it does, yes.
But you learn a lot, and so you got somebody with all the hard work ethic and all the knowledge that 2 years can bring,
Right.
and that makes a huge difference than bringing in a new person who may or may
Starts all over
not
again.
starts all over again and may also put no time in as their predecessors before Hope.
Yeah, and that's actually, thank you so much for talking about that, Chuck, because that's kind of my segue into why I decided to really get back involved and want to continue moving Colorado forward. So, when I first ran on my, it was August of 2023, August 5th, one thing that I specifically said is I would travel to all 64 counties. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to hit all 64 counties, but I was able to travel to 70, I'm sorry, 57 of the 64 counties and sit down and talk with county leadership and ask them specifically the questions, what do you need from the GOP? What can I bring you? What candidates do you have now that you guys are already looking at? So with that stated, they already gave me a list of their candidates. And so I ended up actually making phone calls to those candidates, helping them launch their campaigns. T typically, the vice chair, I don't know like what it's been like in the past, but I promised that I would actually get involved, travel the counties, talk to the county leadership, and get involved with the actual candidates. So when we got the candidates up and running, a couple of them definitely did not know how to get Tracer up and running, all
Right.
the compliance stuff. Like there's a lot of knowledge that needs to be taught or disseminated to these candidates. So I took the time and went ahead and went through the go bag and specifically talked to some of the candidates that were like, this Tracer stuff or the FEC is kind of a little too much and it's way over my head. Can you help me? On nights that I wasn't making phone calls for candidates, I was actually on the phone with those candidates, helping them fill out all their Tracer stuff. So not only did I not just get involved and help like, all the things at meetings and stuff like that, but literally, I dug in grassroots, helped candidates create websites. There's five candidates out there that I helped actually launch their websites. They didn't have any money. It was a donation in kind, and I went ahead and created those websites. The other thing that we're really proud about at the state level is we had a application called Numinar, which was offered to all counties as well as candidates. And with this, we ended up actually allowing candidates to have that for $5 a month. That was just paying for the telephone number. So there was a lot of training with not only Numinar themselves as well as me. So that way I ended up teaching a lot of counties and candidates about the voter outreach, and it actually has a texting application. So that is something the state provided. We paid for that.
That's good. Well, let me read some comments here from Charlene. So glad you're running. Your experience is invaluable. And Sandra absolutely agrees. Dr. Donna says Hope and Anna have been helpful in a couple of particular party issues that she's been working on. And then Charlene again says Hope has been through the fire undeterred. And that's
well, you know, one of the things she did is she visited the vast majority of counties in Colorado. And, you know, a few years ago, a couple of years ago, I went with Ben Nicholas and Neil Mathai and Pei Cage to encourage people to vote for the opt-out. So we didn't make all 64 counties, but I traveled to a lot of places that I have no reason to go to otherwise. You know, just living in Denver, the Denver metro bottom, you have no reason to go to the Eastern Plains. You know, unless you're driving to Kansas, you know, all you see is a highway. And it is amazing to watch because there's some areas that remind me of the Dust Bowl of the 30s. I mean, they are struggling. There are a lot of places in this state that are struggling incredibly hard. The legislature pays no attention to them because they're Republican areas. They're not Democratic areas. And, you know, it was interesting. You know, the only thing that was prospering when I went to the eastern edge with Kansas was marijuana dispensaries, as the people from Kansas would pour over to buy their marijuana. But other than that, it was just, it was so discouraging. It was sad. It was sad. And they need so much help. And people like yourself who are willing to go out there and help them set things up. It's just, it's got to be gold for them.
Well, and to your point is, you know, when I ran for the first time, I was new to all of this, new to not just new to the party, but new to the state party, right? So, and nobody knew who I was. I mean, I was from the Western Slope, a very rural community. And within my rural community, I know what it takes to get things done, especially when it comes to like water, ag, and stuff like that, because we have to deal with that on our property right here. So when I was traveling, it was easy for me to get in my truck. This is a full-time job. Yeah. And that's one thing that I have to let whoever else is running, that this literally is a full-time job. I spent most of my days in my truck, on the phone, communicating, heading over Wolf Creek Pass multiple times, getting in snowstorms, stuck onto Southport, not able to come home. You know, these are things that I was wanting to sacrifice to make Colorado better and to start looking at things in a different lens, is because I live in this. You know, we at a rural community, we suffer from a lot of the things that you guys are able to, you know, get up in the, you know, Denver area and stuff like that. So when you're hitting the rural communities, let's say like Castilla County, who was really, really struggling, we were able to help put their GOP back together. They didn't even have a GOP.
I believe
so. Yeah. So Anna and I really worked hand in hand on trying to get at least their party back up and running. And let me tell you, they did amazing there.
Well, and I think that's where you start, you see the growth. I mean, you guys have done a great job. And again, you know, some of the naysayers try to say, oh, you know, the Republican Party didn't do anything. You guys did a lot and the party grew and I think will continue to grow. And I think Hope, what I just so appreciate about you, because I mean, I see your emails and I know sometimes I have stuff and I reach out to you. You could, and we've had state party leadership before that just kind of disappeared, right? You never heard them. They never did anything.
Well, they hire a political director. They used to have LX. I don't know if people remember LX, but they'd pay $150,000, $100,000 to have a political
director. He would do everything, yeah.
Well, he wouldn't do everything, but that, you know, the Republican Party does not have the money to pay LXs anymore. And the job that was taken up by the treasurer, who also in the past did nothing, is just amazing. But you know, Anna and Hope and our treasurer did was just amazing. And, you know, here's the other thing I appreciate about you, Hope. Once you go around and meet a lot of people, it's very hard not to hate people. I mean, as you found out in La Plata County, your home county, it's pretty easy to hate some people, and with good reason.
But yeah, people hate you.
Well, they do that automatically. You're not in charge necessarily of people hating you, but it's very hard not to hate back. It really is. I fail in that test. You know, I hate back, but you retain a great, you know, sense of smile and positiveness, and it's just tremendous that you're willing to go back in and face all the arrows, because you got your share of arrows, as anybody is. When you know, if you want everybody to like it, do nothing. You know, city managers and cities learned that a long time ago. Do nothing. Great tenure for your job. Do something.
Well,
people get pissed.
And to your point again, I mean, thank you so much for bringing up all these great points, is because, look, I could have said, no, I'm not going to run again after all of the arrows and all the things that we've dealt with. But then I looked and really critically sat down and analyzed all of the things that I did, not just I, but, you know, the party itself did within the 2 years. And it was just, it was outstanding to see all of these great things. I mean, anybody can be a keyboard warrior and behind the scenes and all that stuff, but they really do not know what we actually did within these 2 years. You know, when I was traveling and hitting county fairs, that was actually the most fun part of this, is because to stand side by side with the candidate and not only correspond with the new voters that are excited about these candidates, but we got to register voters that and to bring them back into the fold. They're like, holy cow, we are so excited for Trump this year.
Yeah,
we think he's going to win. And tune, you know, those candidates were able to have those conversations as well as I, you know. So when it comes down to it, each county has their own different things that they need to focus on. But the main thing is meeting the voter where they're at. So when I was actually traveling the counties, I was actually on the phone as well. And I ended up actually personally making 113,491 phone calls.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And this all started around December time when candidates were starting to announce. And again, I when I make a promise, I follow through. And so when I ended up actually going through everything and realizing, holy cow, I mean, definitely left a lot of messages, but basically got to connect with some amazing voters across Colorado, and they were excited. So with that, you know, I think when it comes down to it, I think we can all focus on the fact that we were really excited about Trump being reelected, number one. We all have hope now. He has brought in new hope with Doge, all the things that are going on right now. And we need to take advantage of that and look at what the administration has accomplished, from Treasurer Tom Bjorklund to Anna Ferguson, our secretary, who is truly an amazing individual. I could not have finished what I did as the vice chair without her. She's been truly remarkable and one of the most influential people that I know in the party right now.
I would agree with that too. I think I don't know that Anna has made a decision, but I sure hope she runs.
Me too.
That's out there.
And I wish people could compare what Anna did to her predecessor, who I liked, who was from the southeastern part of the state. You know, she wasn't called on to do much, and being in the southeastern, you know, she couldn't able to do that. But Anna probably put more work in a week than the person did in 2 years.
Yeah.
Not all really all her fault. I mean, in part it was KBB doing her machinations to make sure that nobody else had any connections or power. But it's Anna just, it's a workhorse on that. And so the both of you, and Tom, and, you know, Dave's off to Washington probably. And he's probably been the most extraordinary chairman the Republican Party has ever had. Not that he did everything perfectly, not that he didn't make mistakes like we all do, but if you really, he took a party that had no money, you know, KBB looted the thing down to nothing, and he managed to raise $2 to $3 million. And he did that by, quite frankly, by hook and by crook, to get money to come in. You know, he came up with ideas like, okay, every other state charges candidates be on the ballot. We'll do that. And all of a sudden we have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, you know, nobody prior to that did that. And he also figured out other ways to fund the party, because quite frankly, the establishment expected it just to die on the vine. And it didn't. It didn't, because really what Dave did to accomplish that.
And here, right. Let me read you some of the comments. So Johnny Johnson says you're a blessing to the party. Charlene says you kept Colorado MAGA, which was a miracle with what was thrown into it. Then somebody comments, Sandra says you have her sympathy for having to go over Wolf Creek Pass. And they're talking about slates. We won't talk about slates because I don't think there are any official slates. But let me ask you, because all the things Chuck said are correct, what do you see? And as a vice chair, you know, you're not totally in charge, even though you're the one who I think probably ends up doing as much work as you did, which is amazing. But what do you want to finish or keep doing, if you know what I mean, this next 2 years?
Right. So my plan is to continue growing the grassroots PCPs. Now that I have touched not all the counties, 57 of the 64 counties, I heard
you
what
just
they
round up. Say, you know, right. You haven't been in political politics long enough to know to round up and say, I had every county.
There you go. I heard what they all were, and everything was succinct in regards to PCPs, because really, truly, each county only had half of their precincts filled. So I already have a plan. It's in my website, hopeforcolorado.com. What I already am going to be talking about is including those PCPs, going back to those counties, invigorating them again, getting the momentum going, having some type of happy hours, getting them involved, trying to figure out what is most needed for them to hold them accountable, right? Because PCPs typically, the moment caucus and assembly come, they come, they want to vote, and then they're out of here. But how do we garner them? How do we get them involved? You know, so that is one thing that now I'm going to really focus on. The other thing is really trying to get all of the candidates with a succinct message, right? So that's one thing that we really need to talk about as a party is candidates. If we have a very succinct message, meaning Agenda 47, meaning America First 47 messaging for all of those candidates, it will help move things forward. Because honestly, President Trump has already put out the messaging for us. We
right.
just need to garner that and take that and move forward with it.
You know, that's a really good point, Hope, because I know we worked with some candidates and I listened to some candidates speak. And one of the problems is, and this isn't anyone's fault, right? But a lot of these people that are excited, they haven't been really involved in politics, are the same with PCPs. And they just don't really know what to say. And you're right. Why mess with success? Donald Trump has put together a perfect message. All you need to do is put in like Colorado, or you know yeah. what I mean? And it's like, and just put that out there so they have that. So they're not like thinking, oh, well, I don't know. You know, I don't know what our stance is on this. Or I don't know. You know what I mean? Because I think candidates, they get out there and people ask them stuff that they weren't anticipating. And I think it would be easier to recruit candidates if your plan is implemented and they know that that's there just waiting for them.
Right. And so to that point, let's talk a little bit about the, you know, Agenda 47, America First and all that stuff. So if you really look at where we are within the playing field, you know, obviously we're not a swing state, but heck, we are like the pinnacle of everything that happens, right? Election integrity, picking Trump off the ballot, all these legal things, right? So, you know, we have to encompass that and realize, you know, we are going to be the state where they're really going to be looking at trying to do different things. Why can't we be the first state to actually do better things for the Republican Party and talk about messaging, talk about bringing people back in for the grassroots? Really, the grassroots is really where it's at.
Right.
So when we're looking at that, hey, let's not be a keyboard warrior anymore. Let's try to be kind in some way, form, or fashion, right? Because, look, we all need to be held accountable. And if the messaging is right, it's going to bring back those MAGA people. Because honestly, those MAGA people left back in 2020 when the election was stolen, you know, and all that. So now that we know that President Trump, I think if the fact that he was, quote, on a hiatus for 4 years and we saw what truly happened with Biden and Kamala Harris, it's a no-brainer.
Yes.
You know, we really need to think about, you know, were we successful within those last 4 years? Heck no. People had to get three to four jobs. I know a girlfriend of mine that had to get her third job.
Wow.
Because of all of this stuff, you know, and then to think about inflation, you know, the open border. So we have so much talking points that we can encompass and bring in. We just need to continue moving this forward. And that is consistent with all of the counties that I touched. So it's really going to be easy if you have a continued administration in that facet, because let me tell you, my husband was calling me and was like, are you ever going to come home? And I'm just happy to be a part of this. You know, our naysayers and our haters are going to continue to say you guys didn't do anything. But let me put you, that's why I brought forward the data with my press release, is because, heck no, I did not sit here, you know, just accumulating, you know, all the great things. It takes work. And this is a full-time job.
Yep. No, and like I said, we have seen you do that, and we've seen the results of that, too.
You know, one of the things you'll hear on the other side is that what sells in some rural county will not sell along the Front Range. That we have to have, and so you have to do one of two things. You have different messages. That's what the Independence Institute and John Cuthier say. Why don't we have, you know, anti-Second Amendment, pro-choice things in Denver and around there, and then have a different message from farther out. Or you can do the KBB approach. Let's have statements that are so vague, so mushy, that it means nothing to anybody. I mean, just say, we're for education. Woo-woo! You're for education. Wow, what about education? We're for affordable housing. Well, what does that mean? What affordable housing? You know, you're for low-income housing? You're for, what are you for? You're for massive apartment housing? What do you mean? And so, you know, Trump lost the state by 11 percentage points. And so the likelihood of having a Trump-like message will not necessarily on a statewide basis lead to success, at least up front. But at least you have a message. It's better than the problem that KBB bought out. And if somebody said, well, I don't agree with, you know, some of the things, well, go be a Democrat. You know, go, why don't you start out by castrating your child, make him gender dysphoric. I mean, you know, you got to be able to say, this is what we believe. And you know, compare it to the alternative and decide which way you want to go, because just changing your message, it never does work, but you know, constantly at one time it sort of worked where you could put up, but in 22, we put up every squish candidate we could find. And we put them up. They won the primaries with the help of independents and Democrats, and they got crushed in a Republican year, which just shows you know, by becoming semi-Democrat, you do not succeed. At least if you stand for something, you lose. You go, well, at least we stood for something.
Well, and you think about, yes, President Trump's message has brought triumph to a lot of different states, right?
Right.
I mean, those wins were huge within those swing states. And we got to think about that there are definitely a lot of conservatives out in Colorado. And I can guarantee you, now that we have a very succinct message, again, go to hopeforcolorado.com and you can see all that. It is very succinct based on what is important to Colorado: water, oil and gas, unleashing our energy, making sure that we can sustain with the border, making sure that the border is closed, fighting for the kids, you know, getting rid of sanctuary counties and cities, fighting against the fentanyl crisis. Holy cow, that is, I mean, those are like top six things right there. Election integrity. A lot of people already know what we want. We just need the messaging refined, have those candidates get behind it, have the PCPs get behind it. And as they're knocking doors, calling their voters, it's the same thing. If you hear that multiple times, people will get on board.
Let me, and hope, because we've got to wrap it up. So somebody's saying, is it FOR, F-O-R, or FOR? Because that's a perfect name, by the way, Hope for Colorado.
F-O-R. F-O-R.
All right. Hope, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And thank you for all the work you've done so far. We so appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay,
thank you, Hope.
Care.
Everybody loves Hope and the chat forum there too. So that's good news. That's good news.
Yeah, good news.
Hope running too.
Yeah.
I want to let everybody know on Wednesday, we're going to have a professor, Joe Ellis, join us. I'm talking about the insanity of critical race theory and how that's infected the, which we've talked about before, the education system. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you to Sally Pipes and to Hope Shuppelman.
Take care, everybody, and we'll see you Wednesday.